also want to give some love to BetMGM. We were out at the BetMGM Sportsbook while I was in Vegas with my wife. Enjoyed it. It's a great app. It's easy to use. We did some bets while we were out there on our app. If you're going to bet in the state of Iowa, use BetMGM. Want to thank Kevin O'Hare and Mason Heckman to kind of take care of our high school and a little bit of our, we did a little Final Four talk, and now a special day. It's always a special day when Tiff comes in here, and I appreciate that. Tiff, how are you doing?
Oh, so good. We missed you earlier this week, but you're back.
We're back. And, you know, the wife, when the wife surprises you, you don't say no. And I'm not a big flyer, and I'm not a big, well, I guess I like to gamble, but it was a blast. We had so much fun, and Las Vegas is not the same right now, but it's still a lot of fun, and it's still big. When you look, I mean, I'm looking out. We stayed at the Flamingo. I'm looking out our window, and it looks. I mean, I can touch Caesar Palace. Yeah, it's four blocks away, even though it's across the street. So,
right. That's the thing when you're a girl, like you have to like, ooh. We're just going right next door, but if I'm wearing heels...
Oh, yeah, no.
Even if you're not in heels, it's really not next door. It's like 4 miles.
It is not next door. So, we have a special guest. Is our special guest with us yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so he's going to call. He's going to bop in here. So, as soon as he does... oh, my gosh, we have so much to talk about. I just got off. Mason is he's a University of Iowa student and loves the NCAA, and he is just a whiz. Says there's a 20% chance that maybe Iowa could get a number one seed. So, like we always say, you're telling me there's a chance. That's all that matters.
Well, I can see that a friend has joined.
Ah.
So let's get him in on this conversation. I know he'll have an opinion. So, well, Steve, I'll let you.
Well, let's give him a proper introduction. He is John Miller. I'm a huge fan, and I'm going to play a little fandom on him that I appreciate. when Wolf and I were on, he would come on with us, and he would help me because he could get under. He could get under Wolf's skin, as like Wolf would get under mine. But he is with Hawkeye Podcast, and it's none other than John Miller. John, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. We're just excited to get to talk to you. Tell us a little bit about Hawkeye Podcast. That's what I want to hear today.
Yeah, you know, they ship you off to the old folks' home, and then you start beating everybody in a shuffleboard, and you realize you still have a game left in you, so you just come back to the other league. So... yeah, I needed the time away when I stepped away from Hawkeye Nation in December of 2019. I'm a partner in an energy company and really needed to focus on that as much time as I could. But then, you know, COVID hit and I kind of realized, wait a second, I still have a life between like 6 o'clock at night and 11 p.m. at night, and I don't go to bars, and I pretty much just play video games with friends on my Xbox and wear headsets like the cool kids do. Even as I approach 50 years of age next month, I'm like, you know what? I miss being around the Iowa fans. I miss communicating with them. I basically took a 2.5 month Twitter hiatus, and then COVID, the lockdowns hit last March. And that's actually when I started to tweet again. And then as the summer went along in the fall, I thought, there's no way I can miss this basketball season that I foresee coming up, and I don't want to. And more than that, I just miss interacting with people. And so I started Hawkeye Podcast. I bought that site several years ago because you just never know. And it's been a ton of fun. I was on Patreon from October until today, and it was, you know, just taking advantage of the new technologies that are out there. I always like to kind of try to do things that nobody else is doing. And I think that that's what Hawkeye fans are going to find out. And those of you that have yet to see some of the live reaction videos that I do, you know, tune in tonight immediately after the game, and Mark Morehouse and I will be there. And those live broadcasts, I strip the audio channel out and they become podcasts. So, you know, if you don't want to stay up that late, hit us in the morning.
And see, that's the cool thing, and the whole podcast part of it is a big deal. When I came back, you know, they're like, well, get your podcast up. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to do all this by myself, trying to figure it all out. And then I'm like, okay, I got to get the podcast. And I found out it's not as hard as what I thought it was going to be. Now I've had people helping, but it's not as hard. But you know, by the time you're trying to cut some commercials, which I'm finally getting down to after having a couple tell me that I was, when I'm excited, it was great. But when I'm bland, it wasn't working. And I'm like, yeah, the only reason I'm being bland is because when I'm excited, I have to do them like 14 times in a row because I'll mess something up. But it's very interesting. But I know that we're all glad you're back and glad that you're with the Hawkeye program. To talk a little bit, since we haven't got to talk to you, once again, we're talking to John Miller and Tiff. Let's talk a little bit about football. Had a little bit of a struggle with you know, all the stuff with the weightlifting coach and all those things. I think Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz, and I want to give Brian, I think Brian had more to do with some of the goodwill that happened just because of his age and his ability, knowing you know, sometimes a little bit of NFL experience helps you with that. But for what everything that happened with COVID and the Big Ten as a whole not understanding that how important it was for football to be played, I think Iowa's football season, you have to say, was a tremendous success.
Yeah, I think given everything that was there, and they would have pounded Michigan and they would have pounded Missouri. Missouri had basically a lot of guys that turned pro and they weren't into it. Michigan had quit. Iowa was looking at an 8-game winning streak to end the season and being 8-2 and possibly a top 10 ranking. And those things still matter. As it was, they were 6-2. They won 6 in a row, which is not something that happens all that often in Iowa football history, especially when you consider it 6 conference games. And before the season began, I was pretty vocal about saying, hey, no matter what Iowa does, or really what any team does, there's always going to be an asterisk by this season because who knows how many start stops we're going to have, et cetera. Well, there was a number of those stop starts. Fortunately for Iowa, they were able to get all the regular season games in. But did we all ever need a distraction like that when it came along? It was so much fun, first two games notwithstanding. But even then, having those first two games and feeling kind of the low, and then winning 6 in a row, all in all, I kind of felt satisfied. I felt more than just satisfied. Like, hey, this was good. We just had a partial football season, so whatever you want to call it, whether it has an asterisk or not, they did a really good job. The coaches clearly did not lose the locker room, and I was very concerned that they were at risk of losing the locker room after the 0-2 start, after they lost that game to Northwestern. I said, I thought that Northwestern game was one of the most important in the parents' era because I thought if they lost it, he could lose the program given what went on this summer. But to Kirk's credit, the coach's credit, and more so importantly, the players' credit, they stayed together. And Kirk clearly hasn't lost the locker room. And, you know, the program's going to continue to move along.
Tiff, you were really big on this too, that you could tell even in interviews and all that Kirk got it. And you know, it's not as easy anymore to just come out and browbeat and you know, that's how you're going to get these players to work. They, you know, after being in high school and doing all their you know, side football and tell them how great they are, you still have to get them broken in. But I think that we've talked about it, and I wanted your comment on this too, about how well I think he started to relate maybe better to the younger athlete.
Well, just for what I know, I mean, first of all, that's really not his style anyway. Oh, never no. Has been.
Yeah.
Right? So that would surprise me if anyone ever said that about him. He's just a good human. And I think when you talk about sending your kids off, we have friends that are playing for the Hawks where they wouldn't want their son anywhere else than under Kirk Ferentz. So I just think there's so many things that play into him, and especially in a season filled with a little bit of controversy and ick, that he did a great job, from what I understand, about what happened in that locker room and how we turned it over to the boys to let them kind of decide whether they were, you know, kneeling, standing, all the way back to that whole thing. I mean, I think just his philosophy around coaching and what he brings out of human beings just to be good men, football aside, is just, I think it's phenomenal.
And John, I think as a father of three boys and had one go through the process playing baseball, that's what I want for my coach. The wins and losses weren't number one on Jennifer or I's, you know, mind. It was, I'm dropping my son off here. I'm trusting you to, I don't want you to be his father, but I sure as heck want you to, you know, give him as much as you can to become a very good young man. I said, we've tried to lay a framework. I want you to continue. And I think that's very important. And I think you're seeing that more. I think people doing a better job interviewing who the coaches are going to be. And I think that's going to help Iowa. I know it helps Iowa State with the way people respect Matt Campbell. And that respect with Kirk Ferentz goes so far back. And he still has ties to the NFL, and that matters in college football.
It does. And I've known Kirk. Now, when I say I've known Kirk, I don't go to his house and play euchre with him. But I've known Kirk since 2000, you know, the first time I met him. And I have interviewed him, I don't know, 3-4 dozen times, you know, and I've been in multiple green rooms back when I used to do speaking engagements and MC engagements on the iClub tours around the state. And, you know, you'd get it. That was really the best time because you got a chance to just hang back there with Kirk and Brands and an assistant basketball coach. And we'd all just be sitting there, you know, laughing and telling stories and hearing Norm Parker tell stories. So I struggle to be objective when it comes to Kirk. That said, there were more than enough players that I've cheered for, or at least, you know, quietly, because you're not supposed to cheer in the press box. But I want Iowa to win every game. Everybody knows that. But I'll call balls and strikes. There's more than enough high-quality, really good people who felt that there were some things that took place to where they either felt threatened or they couldn't be themselves for me to believe that none of that happened. And I am glad that Iowa has taken the steps they've taken to try to correct the issues as best they can. Hopefully the measures that they've taken will be enough so that the program can move forward healthily, but more so that the players within the program can be themselves and not feel threatened. And again, just seeing what took place on the field those last six games, if that were a shattered locker room and people didn't trust the coach, it would have fallen off the rails. The fact that it didn't is probably the most encouraging sign that you know, the players are still rallying around Kirk Ferentz.
Okay, so I just got a question texted to me. I'm going to ask the both of you. What are, since all this with COVID happened this year and without fans and universities struggling to, you know, find revenue, this person wants me to ask your opinions on if they'll sell beer all throughout the stadium at Kinnick this year. I mean, that's what they're asking for John and Tiff to answer. What's your answer on that pressing question?
I don't know that they'll do it this year, but it's going to happen. And it may happen next year. I could see them maybe not doing it this year because they've kind of spoken to that they're not going to be in a rush. But I would say 2-1 odds it's happening in 2022.
Tiff?
Oh, yeah, I agree. It brings up scary things with the Iowa City police around there, but yeah. I do think it's going to happen, and it's just a matter of when.
You know, that is...
It doesn't sound like they're drinking in the parking lot.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know that I would. Just be careful. And then you got to drink during the game, too. Oh, boy.
And then, right. You know, that was the... I remember the first time I went up. Whatever you do, stay in the yard. I'm like, what do you mean, stay in the yard? Stay in the yard. Well, what can I step on? The sidewalk. I'm like, are you serious? And they're like, yeah, try it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not trying it because... But I've seen many, and that is too bad. But that's, you know, that's the price you pay having where the stadium is and just how the University of Iowa is. It's spread out. I mean, you're going to have that. And trust me, the police and everything, God knows we need them, but they're not fun on weekends up in Ames either. So, but there's people that deserve to be taken care of, and they usually take care of them very well. So I just sometimes don't like them picking on the kids, but hey, you know, you got to teach your kids that too. We got about, a minute left. I'm going to save basketball going into next segment, but, University of Iowa wrestling, I hope that they compete like they did. I think COVID has really hurt the Hawkeye program. They were dominating. I still think they're going to be dominating, but a big wrestling weekend getting ready to come up.
Yeah, you know, they won the Big Tens last year by 25 over Nebraska and quite a big wide margin by Penn State. They're clearly the number one ranked team right now. This is probably the most highly rated wrestlers they've had in the brand's era, and that's saying something even back to the Brent Metcalf squads. I think they're going to steamroll, and I think that they're going to win the national championship, and they should have won it last year, but there's a lot of things that should have happened last year.
Oh, and Spencer Lee, he is just the way he's wrestling right now. When you have someone like Dan Gable say, "I've never seen anything like it," you know you're having a pretty amazing year.
Right. Right. No, you're right. And his ability to tilt anybody that he wants to. And I mean, what was it last year? I can't remember the stat they kept throwing out on the BTN earlier this year that like the combined scores of his matches were something like 120 to 20 something. I mean, it's just a level of domination that has seldom been seen in the most storied wrestling program in the history. Well, certainly in the last 50, 60 years of the sport. It's something.
All right, so we've been talking to Tiff. We've been talking to John Miller. We're going to talk Iowa basketball when we come back from break. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day. We're going to have Tiff and John back in about 6 minutes.
You're listening to Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports. Oh, it is a Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. Another beautiful day outside. We're bringing sports your way every day. And we're doing that today with a new sponsor today is Northwest Bank. They have two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Member of FDIC. It's nice to have them on board. Now, here is the great thing about where we're taking this program. I now have been joined by one Tiff, one John Miller, and one Jeremy in with me again today. Say hi to Jeremy.
Me say hi or they say hi to me?
Everybody can say hi.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, how's it going? Congrats on the new sponsor, too.
Yes.
My father-in-law works for Northwest Bank.
Well, there you go. Yeah, one of my best.
Where I got my mortgage from.
One of my best
house,
friends so. Works there, president of the bank. Kind of love it. Good dude. So we've been talking Iowa Hawkeyes. We talked a little football. Jeremy comes in here on Thursdays at this time because he has to get ready for the Hawkeye huddle that comes right after this program.
Yes, hopefully without any problems in music playing over here.
There you go, because we've had some of that. Tiff and I had that on a Friday a couple of weeks ago, too, that we couldn't hear each other. And Tiff, I have to tell you a funny story. So Jeremy came in, and he was sitting in it, and it did it again. And he's like, "Boy, you remain calm." And I'm like, "Yeah, I wasn't calm when it happened to Tiff and I." I'm like, "Tiff, what do I do?" But that's just radio. So let's hop. We talked a little football.
You're killing me.
Why?
Are we going to talk basketball?
Yes. Why would you not want to talk basketball?
I said I was ready like a segment ago.
Oh, okay. I was going to bring up Gary Barta, but I'm not going to put John through that. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, he knew how Wolfgang felt about that.
So that's where I was ready. Another question. When are the students going to be down on courtside just asking for a friend? who that was his major thing, and he never got it done. So I guess I'm going to have to start taking over for him. And even though I'm a Cyclone dude, I'll fight for the students to be close to the court whenever I can. When we're talking about the basketball program, I think Fran's done a great job this year. I think the mixture of youth is showing late in the season because they have some freshness to them. I talked earlier today to Mason Heckman, who's a student up there, trying to give them the opportunity to talk about sports and seeing how fun this job could be. I asked him for a percentage of what's the percentage of Luka Garza winning the Player of the Year, and he said that he had it at about 78%. John, what do you think?
Ask this percentage question again. I was just distracted by my beautiful little daughter.
Oh, no, it's fine, and that's more than okay. I talked to a student up at Iowa today, and he said that he believes that Luka Garza winning Player of the Year would be about 78%. What do you think?
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I think it's probably higher than that. I think the Io talk that came up, and Io DeSumo from Illinois is a phenomenal player. Io is going to make more money playing professional basketball than Luka will, but that's not what we're talking about. This is Luka's to lose. But talking heads and writers, and I've been a talking head myself, it's boring when somebody, a team, a person, whatever, goes wire to wire. There's no drama. So you have to manufacture drama sometimes, and that's all that this was. It's not that Io isn't worthy of consideration for Big Ten Player of the Year. Just not in 2021.
I agree, Tiff. I know that you feel like we do, but you know, we've had this conversation, and I can picture it. I have a picture of it. Of somebody took a picture of Wolfgang and I, and we're watching Luka Garza play as a sophomore, and he's like, Steen, he's going to be so good. And I'm looking at him going, man, he can't even get up and down the floor, not knowing that some of the physical problems that he had while he was trying to do that. But when I watch him now, There's no doubt, and I feel bad for him that most of the people are saying that he doesn't have a NBA because there's nobody in the NBA like him. Well, that shouldn't matter, but he's making money somewhere. I don't know if he's going to do it in the NBA or he's going overseas, but he's making money somewhere because the kid, I would never bet against him.
Yeah, and John, you talked about this on one of the podcasts, so mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to go there, but you don't think he has necessarily an NBA game either.
I don't. He's just not quick enough. And he can't guard an NBA 6'10", 250-pound forward. He can't. So, but then again, I'm the same guy that said Jordan Bohannon probably wasn't a Big Ten caliber guard. So take it with a grain of salt. But the thing with Luka is the guy turned down a multi-year seven-figure contract this offseason to play in Europe. He's working on his Bosnian dual citizenship, which if when he gets that, I'm guessing he probably will, he can get paid more, or there are large contract slots, more of them available to European-born players than there are for American-born players. So Luke is going to make tens of millions of dollars playing basketball professionally. I just don't think that it will be in the NBA, and that doesn't mean I don't like the guy. I love him. He's one of my favorite players of all time. I just don't think that he's going to play in the NBA.
Jeremy, what do you think?
It's tough, because like you said, there's really nobody to compare him to at that level right now. So it's hard to see how he would fit into an NBA-type game. But at the same time, going overseas and playing for $10 to $15 million a year doesn't seem like a bad idea either. So,
and how I look at it, I look at a Jared Utoff, and boy, I enjoyed watching him play. Athletic, big, could shoot, and he couldn't stick. And he's more athletic. I don't know if he has Luka's. I don't think anybody has Luka's work ethic. It's amazing.
No.
Maybe his dad, but other than that. But so, Tiff, I think that's what I'm looking at, that if like somebody like Utoff can't make it, I just don't know. But like I get it. He's still going to make money, so he's going to be happy. Here's the really funny thing is one of the things that people have said about Fran McCaffrey is sometimes he doesn't develop players. And when you look at the two Murray twins and now seeing the second one getting more playing time, especially on the defensive end and their hustle, I think Fran's done. And you throw in Patrick in there too, and even Joe T, how he played the last time. Man, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think the next two or three years, because I don't know what Wheezy's going to do, but the next 3 years look really, really good for these guys.
They do. Keegan, you know, after seeing Keegan play two or three games this year, and Tiff can, you know, vouch for me that I'm not just making it up. I said that this guy's going to be a star. By the time he gets to a junior, he's going to be first team all Big Ten. You can just see the type of game he has and the confidence that he played with. And he kind of hit a little bit of a wall a couple of weeks ago, but he bounced right back through it. He has a skill set at a size that we have not seen an Iowa player have. Well, probably a little Utah-ish, but Keegan is much more aggressive than Jared was. Jared just didn't have that killer instinct. And Keegan is a quiet killer. He doesn't talk. He just, you know, he looks like he's going to bring you milk, help the old lady across the street, and he'll cut your heart out and dunk on you, and that's what I love about him. But, Jack Nungy has a career playing professionally in Europe ahead of him, but he's going to have to play. He's going to have to come back to get there if he wants to do that for his career. So I expect that he'll be back. Joe Wieskamp, he's certainly going to test the waters at a minimum. He is shooting, and he is a 6'5", 6'6", guard that has athleticism. He will play in the NBA. That doesn't mean he's going to get drafted in the first round, but Joe Wieskamp will play in the NBA. So I don't know that I see him returning with us toward a shooting pace that he's on. He's the best three-point shooter in the United States of America. So, and Iowa actually has four guys that are shooting at least 42-43% that have attempted over 45 threes in conference play. And no one in the country has more than two of those guys. And Iowa's got four of them. And oh my gosh, I can't tell you how many times this basketball season I've sat and thought, Wolfgang would be loving the heck out of watching this squad. It would be so entertaining hearing him lose his mind, because all these years he's tried to get me to buy into Ken Pomeroy and the advanced statistical analytics. And I'm like, dude, would you just talk field goal percentage with me? Can you talk like a normal human, please? And then now look at me. I'm Mr. Ken Pomeroy on the podcast. I love it. Wolfgang was ahead of his time.
He was ahead of his time.
Who knew he was ahead of the time?
Yo.
Let me tell you.
Here's another thing he told me. Back in 2011, I'm driving out of my neighborhood in West Des Moines. I know right where I was when he told me. He's like, John, we need to create a State of Iowa podcast network, sports podcast network. We need to create it in the state of Iowa. So I went and bought Hawkeye podcast. I went and bought Iowa podcast. I'm like, okay, someday we might do that. And so the guy played himself off as if he wasn't very bright or intelligent, but he was always thinking.
Oh man, he was the thorn. that's
so let's go there real quick. Let's go to Kim Pong, because when we talk about what's coming up for Iowa in the next couple weeks, right? We got four Big Ten teams in the top 10. So not only were we talking about hoping they would get in no less than a four seed, three preferably or above. So hopefully we're going to be there. But we got to get into the Big Ten tournament first. So when you look at the stats from a KenPom perspective, it's scary because those other teams are better. I mean, their ratings are better. Like Michigan, Illinois, a 9-9. Ohio State has a worse defensive efficiency. But other than that, it's like crazy.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's the best the Big Ten has been since the 1980s. And unfortunately, we don't have Pomeroy statistics going back beyond 2002. But the Big Ten this year is right now likely going to be graded and rated when this season's over as the best conference in the last 20 years, which encompasses the entire KenPom era. There was a Big 12, I think, of 2017, and then an ACC in 2004. The Big Ten this year is better, and at least for the advanced statistical analytics. And, yeah, Michigan's really, really good. Still a head-scratcher how Illinois beat them without Iowa the other night. Ohio State's really good. Still a head-scratcher how Iowa punked them by 16, or how Purdue beat Ohio State twice this year, how Northwestern beat Ohio State and then lost 13 straight games. This year, whole Big Ten season is a head-scratcher. But the man-to-man defense that Iowa has been playing their last seven games has been, they are among the top 10 teams as of Sunday. It might have changed since Sunday. But over Iowa's previous seven games, dating back to their loss at Indiana, they had the 10th best defensive efficiency in college basketball from February 5th through this past Sunday, and the 10th best offensive efficiency. And your offense and defense efficiency both being top 25, that is who you pull your national championship contenders from.
And I agree. And so here was my take on just to go back to Keegan for 1 second. He is, and this is as a freshman, he's Tyler Cook with a 7'2" wingspan. Now, if he shows that kind of energy, which, John, I agree with you, I think he will. That's a tough team right now to, you know, take, you know, if he has some really macho stuff in him, that's a tough team to do that with Wheezy there, Garza there, Bohannon there, you know, they're and Connor McCaffrey being there, they talk enough as it is. So it's hard for him, but I think he's going to blossom into that. Except for he's already a better 3-point shooter, and he just has a better. Even though Tyler Cook had an NBA body, he just didn't have an NBA body with the right height. Keegan does.
Keegan reminds me a little bit of Grant Hill, and I'm not saying these to be Grant Hill. But if you look at Keegan's per 40 metric numbers at basketballreference.com, Keegan's per 40 minutes played numbers are on par with Grant Hill's. And both of them, silky, smooth. Hill was better with the ball in his hands than Keegan is. But that's kind of my, that's my comparison. That's who I think a little bit about relative to what I think Keegan's ceiling is maybe a light version of Grant Hill. But I don't even know if I want to slide him and say light, because this guy he's already better than his dad. And his dad was a 1,200-point scorer and a really phenomenal defensive player. Keegan's per 40-minute numbers are better than his dad's as well.
And his pedigree, what he went through with dad, a little different, but I agree with you. I think that's a really good player to compare him to. He'd be excited about that if he knew who Grant Hill was, which I hope he would. But you never know anymore, John. So
we're all getting older.
We are getting older.
Tiff, we got about 30 seconds. You got anything left?
No, I just want him to win the next two games.
I do too. I mean, it's,
win the next two, they're a 2 seed.
Yep, they're a 2 seed, and they could, if they win the Big Ten, they could be a 1 seed, and look out. So, Tiff, I want to thank you. John, I want to thank you for coming in. Tiff, that's a great get, and hopefully we can have John on more, and love talking to you both.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on, everybody. Take care. Bye, Tiff.
Jeremy and I are going to finish out this segment today. I want to say thanks again to Northwest Bank. First Day, we're a new sponsor. They have 2 locations in Ankeny, 1 in West Des Moines. They're a member of FDIC. We'll do more stuff with them and bring in more things when we have guests and do all kinds of stuff, so that'll be a lot of fun. I think we'll go there. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Ben Roethlisberger took a pretty substantial pay cut, $14 million. I'm assuming he was in the 20s.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh,
a little more than that. I think he's like 40.
Yeah. Pittsburgh going to try one more time. I don't know if that's the answer in that division. Yeah. I don't even know if it's the answer because of the way those defenses are.
That division as a whole is getting better.
Oh, my
I don't
goodness.
Know if Pittsburgh is. We had a really long, in-depth conversation about this situation on my podcast over on Just Another Football Show about this. And one of the points I brought up is I think Ben saw the writing on the wall. If you want to play football, I don't see any other team him an opportunity point. So you're going to have to take less money. And Pittsburgh is, once again, in this, run it back. We'll get it next year. They're not building for a future that's going to last. They're building for next season. And at a certain point, that's going to start biting them. And we might be getting there.
And it hurt him with the age on the defensive line. It hurt him with age on the offensive line. And when you have a quarterback that can't move, that's not... Yeah.
When you continue to go all in on 1 year and it's not working, they could be... They could go down a very nasty fall once Roethlisberger and some of those veteran players are out, because I don't think they've built a very good young team.
Yeah, I agree with that.
To look ahead three or four seasons.
Especially getting lucky, getting Claypool last year and what he turned out to be. You know, you'd think they'd be trying to go that direction, but they're not. I got two things that I can't believe, and one makes me happy, and one I'm shaking my head. But I can't believe that John Candy's been gone for 27 years.
Yeah, it's...
That is so sad. If you... with young kids, if you haven't seen some John Candy movies, you are missing some.
No, my kids have seen stuff. Uncle Buck. They have watched Great Outdoors.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Summer Rental is one that goes under the radar, which is a great John Candy
Stripes
movie.
With him. Yeah. Oh, he was so good.
A couple scenes in that one that you got to hype.
Here's what I don't get. So we've been in this business, this radio business, and it's fun. And I saw a number today, and I Skip Bayless just signed a contract with Fox. 8 years, $32 million. I don't dislike people. I don't like him. I don't like his type of radio, but boy, it must sell.
Yeah, it does. And that's the thing. And that's
I guess I can't be mean like that. I can't.
You come in here and you know, back when we were doing this show, it was always very forward. This is our genuine opinions. Right. We're not here to create controversy. No, we're not here to stir an argument. And, you know, we would say stuff to each other that would get us going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But we wouldn't ever say one thing we didn't mean just to get the numbers on the switchboard to light up, you know, just get the calls in there. And Skip Bayless is one of those guys that's very controversial. And I have a hard time sometimes believing if he believes what he says.
I don't think
look at a Colin Cowherd. You know, a lot of times it's like, he said this. Can you believe he said that? Well, yeah, I kind of can. You know, I get called Stephen A. Smith all the time with some of my takes on the Just Another Football Show. And it's my genuine opinion. And then I take that as a compliment because look at how much money he's making over at ESPN goodness. Right now.
So. Yeah, Colin Cowherd. And then he just signed that almost $1 billion doing his podcast and bringing podcasts in from all. Yeah.
It's what
I can't do that.
It's what listeners really like. And there's a certain point where you have to differentiate between an actual opinion and a person's thought, or the moment that light comes on and they're on air, they're all of a sudden playing a character.
Right.
They're in a role.
And I think that's what they do. And it's like, okay, we don't have a lot going on today. Baker Mayfield said he's seen a UFO, and I think that makes him a horrible quarterback. Yeah. What do we think?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, okay, look at Baker. I mean, he hates Baker Mayfield. I'm like, look at Baker Mayfield's stats, and you can't call him a horrible quarterback. Can you call him that he makes bad decisions sometimes? Yes, and you can say that about almost everybody.
Yeah, you can say that about 90% of the
league. Really crazy stuff going on out there right now. You have Deshaun Watson saying he's not playing for Houston. You got Seattle now saying they're willing, if you throw me a package, I'm willing to trade Russell Wilson. What are you guys thinking?
Seattle one, I'll start with there. That's interesting to me because I don't think they ever intended to deal Russ or move on from Russ.
No.
Russ was vocal about being unhappy with some things, and his people were out there sort of, you know, back alley, you know, hey, you know, we're not too happy. If you make a good deal, you can probably sneak him out. All of a sudden, the phone started ringing, and Seattle's picking it up. And it's like, what are you talking? No, we're not interested in, wait, you'll give us what?
Right.
Well, you know, I guess it wouldn't hurt to listen and hear some offers here. Now I think it might be getting to a point where, you know, if the right offer comes along, Russ has got a huge contract owed. If you can get a decent quarterback in exchange, I think it's going to take one or two players and then maybe a couple picks.
Think about that. Two picks. What is the Chicago Bears? I mean, Khalil Mack would be. So Khalil Mack, a couple of picks.
I think he is traded
this
offseason.
Yeah, I do too. But what's the other? They have the linebacker from Georgia, like a cover linebacker for the Bears. I can't remember.
It's been a while.
Makes me so mad. But you get a couple of things like that to help that defense. I think Seattle brings in, you know, whoever. I mean, they're not going to trade.
There was a lot of talk about, you know, Ezekiel Elliott to Seattle and a couple picks for Russ, and then that didn't make any sense to me. I think if Dallas is going to make a move for Russell Wilson, it's Dak Prescott's in the mix.
Oh, it has
to
be.
And I think that's almost a cheap way for Jerry to get out of the situation they're in.
Because he's not in a good spot.
It's either we pay Dak, and if I want to move on from Dak, I need someone that the fans are going to be happy with, because Dallas Cowboy fans love Dak Prescott, and deservedly so. So all of a sudden it's, okay, well, Dak's gone, but we got Russ. Oh, okay, we're okay with that, I guess.
Yeah, and see, that's my thing, too, that you're seeing all over Ezekiel Elliott. Nobody wants that contract, not with a running back.
No, and not with his performance over the last couple seasons.
And so that kind of stuff is hurting. The running back position has changed so much. I mean, your team, my team, the Ravens and the 49ers don't have a marquee. I mean, we had a rookie running back that they finally took their two veterans and put them on the bench, and that's when they started getting better. So
yeah, San Francisco, it's just whoever is healthy,
right?
And you plug and play, and those guys go, and they've got it all. They all have a similar skill set, which I think is nice, and which is probably why they're all on the same team. Back to Deshaun Watson and this chicken match that him and, you know, no one's going to blink first, and they have to trade Deshaun Watson. They have to try and get something out. There's a lot of dead money attached to that contract, though, a lot of guaranteed money from Houston. Yeah. But he has been very vocal. I will not play for this team again. Friends mention how much money he's going to lose sitting out. Don't care. Tell him how much money he could be fined by the league because they can do that now due to the new CBA. I don't care. I'm not playing on this team. And I saw something last week that really sort of irritated me. Was someone on Twitter was saying that they don't, you know, Deshaun signed the contract. He knew what he was getting into.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, but at the time he signed that contract, I had DeAndre Hopkins. You know, I had J.J. Watt on the other side of the football. I had a team that seemed like they were trying to put together a Super Bowl contender. Now, everyone's gone. I look in the room and it's all new faces, and I'm getting no help here. I'm getting no offensive line help. The run game is in shambles. David Johnson played well, but you just cut Duke Johnson at wide receiver. You went out and got me nothing last year, and Will Fuller probably won't be back due to his suspension. So I want out.
And for all those people that say, well, he signed the contract. So did in the next 3 weeks, so did about 150 players that are going to get cut from football teams because they can't afford to pay him anymore.
Yeah, and
they have to go out and find money again, but not the money they were making. So you don't get it both, you know, ownership, you don't get it both ways. Players, you don't get it both ways either. You do sign a contract. You do have some responsibility. But the team also has some responsibility. And it's different between a safety or an outside linebacker and your marquee player of your football team is the reason you make all your money. They're not coming to see the owner. They're not coming to see the coach. They're coming to see Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And they have, that's why quarterbacks, unlike it used to be running backs. You know, you're all Franco Harris. You remember all these guys. Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. And wide receivers, it's showing anymore. Kyle Shanahan, your coach, started all this because he said, I can scheme a running game and I can scheme a passing game. And all I need, I don't need speed. I just need somebody that can catch a ball and somebody that if they see an open hole can run through it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need any of that. And he's changed the way people look at the game of football because he doesn't do it by manhandling people. He schemes these things open. And that's what everybody's starting to do.
Yeah. You get great offensive minds out there. A lot of young great head coaches. You saw it with Green Bay with Matt LaFleur last year as far
Absolutely.
As some of that Kyle Shanahan-esque, you know, scheming for plays, throwing plays in the playbook just to get on film or, you know, I want to see how this works and we're going to go back to that three plays from now after they've seen
Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, same thing. They don't need a running back.
We're out of time. I saw a really interesting take from Buffalo about wanting to change coaching hiring rules going forward that I agree with. I'll talk to you
about agree. I agree with it, too. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for coming in. Jeremy, as always, it's awesome to talk to you. And I will see you tomorrow.